And we'll go a little long just because I this is supposed to be about a reading of Alice, and I'm afraid a lot gets too much gets jammed in. I probably will need to do some sh need to do some shows where there's a lot less commentary. So today's reading, we're going to do a little bit of Alice Miller's chapter in For Your Own Good, Poisonous Pedagogy. We're starting with one of these pedagogues. Quote, he says, all exercises that teach children self-control, that make them patient and persevering, aid in the suppression of inclinations. These children are not supposed to want anything. They are supposed to be, in fact, puppets of the parent. For this reason, continuing, all exercises of this sort deserve special attention in the education of children and are to be regarded as one of its most important elements, even though they are almost universally ignored. There are many such exercises, and they can be presented in such a way that children gladly submit to them. You need only know the correct manner of approaching the children and choose a time when they are in a good humor. An example of such an exercise is keeping silent. Remember, we're going to be talking about voice, reclaiming our voices. Well, what I've been encouraged to think about by Alice with these excerpts is that these power guys who are descendants of, if not direct recipients of, descendants of folks who were trained this way, if not themselves trained this way, that they in fact had their voices stolen. They were made, trained to learn the skill of remaining silent, of not having a voice. Continuing, ask a child, do you think you could remain silent for a few hours sometime without saying a word? Make it pleasurable for him to make the attempt until he eventually passes the test. Afterwards, spare nothing in persuading him that it is an accomplishment to practice such self-control. Repeat the exercise, making it more difficult each time, partly by lengthening the period of silence, partly by giving him cause to speak, or by depriving him of something. Continue these exercises until you see that the child has attained a degree of skill therein. Then entrust him with secrets and see if he can be silent even then. If he reaches the point, so I mean, my interjection, if you wonder why some of these guys seem robotic, here's your answer. Or at least I've been wondering, encountering a few. See if they can be silent even then. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Achieves the honor of blah, blah, blah. Then once he achieves this skill, encourage him to undertake other tests. One such test is to go without certain things one loves. Children especially love the pleasures of the senses, unlike these robots. One must occasionally test whether they can control themselves in this regard. Give them fine fruits, and when they reach for them, put them to the test. Could you make someone a present of it? Proceed as I have just instructed in connection with keeping silent. Children love movement. They don't like to keep still. Train them here as well to learn self-control. Also put their bodies to the test insofar as their health permits. Let them go hungry and thirsty, bear heat and cold, perform difficult labors, but see that this occurs with their acquiescence. Force must not be applied or these exercises will lose their efficacy. I promise you that they will give children brave, persevering, and patient dispositions that will later be all the more all the more efficient in suppressing evil inclinations. Let's take the case of a child who prattles, very often talking for no reason at all. This habit can be broken by the following exercise. After you have thoroughly explained his misbehavior to the child, say, "Now, let us test whether you can stop prattling. I shall see how many times you speak today without thinking first." Then one pays careful heed to everything he says, and when he prattles, one makes clear that he is in error and makes note of how many times this has happened in one day. The following day, say to him, "Yesterday you prattled so and so many times. Now let us see how many times you will be in error today." And one continues in this manner. If the child still has any sense of honor and good instincts, he will be sure to forsake his error little by little in this way. Along with these general exercises, one must also undertake special ones that are directly aimed at restraining affect. But these must not be tried until the above-mentioned methods have first been used. A single example can stand for all the rest, because I must pull in my sails a little, not to go on at too great length. Let us assume a child is vindictive, and your methods have brought him to the point of being inclined to suppress this passion. After he has promised to do so, put him to the test in the following manner. Tell him you intend to put his perseverance in controlling this passion to the test. Admonish him to be on his guard and to be watchful for the first attacks of the enemy. His feelings is the enemy, in case you didn't immediately assume that. Watchful for the first attacks of the enemy. Then secretly order someone. Oh, my, you see the deep duplicity, deviousness, falseness of, deep into the individual histories and the history of class itself of this mindset. Then secretly order someone to give the child an undeserved reproof. That must have been fun for the person roped in, huh? I'm sure they enjoyed that, you know, torture. Because, you know, these guys do enjoy torturing, because just as she said, they like to revenge themselves on the next generation. So give them an undeserved reproof when he's not expecting it, so that you can see how he will behave. If he succeeds in self-control, then you must praise his accomplishment and cause him to perceive as much as possible the satisfaction proceeding from self-control. Later, one must repeat the same test. If he cannot pass it, one must punish him lovingly and admonish him to behave better another time. One need not be severe with him. Where there are many children, one must hold up as examples to the others, those who have done well in the test. Can't trust nobody, can you? Not even your brothers and sisters. One must help the children as much as possible with these tests. One must teach them how to be on their guard. One must make them take as much pleasure as possible in the process so that they are not intimidated by the difficulties. For it should be mentioned that if the children do not take pleasure in these tests, all will be in vain. So much for the exercises, and that's from, unquote, that's from Sulzer, quoted in Rushinsky. And Alice says in comment on this, "The results of this struggle against strong emotions are so disastrous because the suppression begins in infancy, i.e., before the child's self has had a chance to develop." And we're going to be obviously pondering that quite a bit in coming weeks, along with our parallel and partnered discussion of refinding, regaining our authentic voice. So we have gone a little bit over. I apologize, but as always, thank you for tuning in, and I hope that some of the thoughts that were discussed do get translated into practice. Until next week, peace.